a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Through it, they might. There we go. Sorry, folks. Now I got to back away. The trooper's going to be inside the bus making sure the paperwork, the first aid kit is there, the body fluid cleanup kit is there, things like that.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your argument in the opening statements was that the Highway Patrol is too busy during that time frame, specifically because of the rally. The motor carriers wouldn't be, I guess, unless there's more semi-truck traffic there than I've seen all the years I've been there. So why do we need to take it away from, I guess, the motor carriers as well?
Mr. Chairman. In August, obviously all the troopers, a large amount of troopers are out at the rally. We try to do the bulk of the school bus inspections in June. In reality, for the motor carrier guys, in order for us to support our regular operations and the way our staff is set up, the largest portion of the motor carrier section reside in the ports of entry. We have eight mobile teams, which are the guys in the vans that you've seen, and there's two guys in there, and then we've got six troopers that are trained in motor, specifically for specializing in motor carrier. So in reality, we've got 22 guys to crawl underneath 1,700 buses. And we get that done in those 2 weeks. Where August comes in is the re-inspects and things like that. So if we have a 10% failure rate, we still have 170 buses to re-inspect in June. Well, if those have problems, we still have another re-inspect to do. And that's where the real big time crunch comes in. We're not too busy to do school bus inspections. Like I said, we don't want to get out of this. We just want to make it easier for both the school district, and I would be remiss, and you'd have a whole lot more questions if I said if there's not a benefit to the Highway Patrol. It doesn't cost the Highway Patrol any more money. We're not going to save a dime on this because we still pay our employees by the hour. We're still going to provide all the inspections, the paperwork, the stickers, and things like that. So there's no financial impact on the Highway Patrol because we're still going to be out doing those. So we're going to save the time that they spend on school buses. That's going to be drastically reduced. But if you've traveled from Sioux Falls to Rapid City on any given day in South Dakota, you don't always see a trooper every 20 miles. That's for darn sure. It's what we can do when we're not doing bus inspections. We can get back out there more effectively, making our roads safer to travel on.
Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also for you. We're picking on you today.
Okay.
On the very last sentence, the last of the last sentence, it says, a Class 2 misdemeanor. With the importance of who we're carrying in these school buses, how did you come to the conclusion that the least misdemeanor that you could possibly give anyone out there is what you chose? Why did you do that?
Mr. Chairman. I would certainly be open for discussion if you wanted to increase those penalties. We had to have something on there to say you have to be certified. You have to know what you're doing. As I said, we do it already with the commercial vehicles. All of those vehicles get inspected once a year by a qualified personnel. I would equate that's only qualified to do half of a bus. Just like I said, the motor carrier personnel get underneath and check the chassis of the bus. You have to know what's involved in the body of the bus. It's very unique because of the rules and regulations for those buses. So you have to be qualified in order to do those. So we had to have some, I guess if there's a carrot, there's usually a stick behind it. And we had to have some kind of penalty that we know this person is certified and you can't just throw a sticker on any old bus by any old person.
Okay. Your follow-ups.
So basically what you're saying then is you feel even the minimal does the job of giving you comfort that this is covered. This is something that gave some thought to and just didn't throw something on there to have something on there. To me, the minimal is seems pretty small.
Mr. Chairman, I'd say I'm comfortable with the way the bill's written,
okay.
But certainly open.
Okay. Just wanted to question that. Thank you.
Okay, are there any additional questions from the committee? Seeing none, we'll close the committee question time and move to committee discussion and or action. Representative Shrimp, do you want to finish your thought that I interrupted you earlier?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair. Yeah, I just want to iterate what I started saying before, that up there where we live, the buses have to come from a long ways, and we got a lot of buses, and I think this is a good bill. And I know we got qualified people up there that will be supervised by the Highway Patrol, and I think it's a good bill. Thank you.
Any other committee discussion and or action?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Rasmussen.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we do pass.
Okay. We have a motion do pass by Representative Rasmussen and a second by Representative Duvall. Is there any discussion on your motion? None? From the second? None? Seeing no discussion, we will move to our vote on Senate Bill number 41, do pass.
Mr. Chairman, I
yes. Okay. Representative Russell.
One idea of law is essentially that you have a statute, and then in some cases you may have an exception to the statute under certain circumstances. There's a phrase of the exception swallowing the rule, or essentially negating the rule. And my fear here, and I certainly entertain and understand where the Highway Patrol would like to go with this, and I don't necessarily disagree with the intent, because, however, my concern stems from the idea, the whole idea of the statute, as far as I can tell, is that we have someone take a look and make sure that the school district, for whatever reason, is doing a good job maintaining their buses for the safety of these children that they're transporting. Now, the way in which I understand this from the testimony is that what we are going to essentially be doing is negating the statute in a number of cases, and maybe the majority of the cases, because essentially what we're doing is we're turning it over. They are going to promulgate rules that will turn this inspection system over to the very people who are maintaining them on a weekly and daily basis. And from that standpoint, I have serious concerns about this bill, because I think that it in fact is a situation where the exception could swallow the rule. Now, I don't disagree with the idea that we don't need to force the Highway Patrol to spend all their time in the summer months essentially just trying to comply with this particular statute. And I would welcome an amendment or a bill that would essentially have the idea that we are going to have an independent contractor, some business, for instance, that would double check the work of the school district once a year, in lieu of having the Highway Patrol do so, with the Highway Patrol overseeing that. But what I have a real uncomfortableness with about the stated intent of the Highway Patrol here is that they are going to let the very same people who are maintaining the buses on a daily basis to do their own inspection. And, you know, I think that the statute has served us well. We don't have a lot of, I can't remember any issues where any children have been harmed because of a malfunctioning school bus or something of that nature. So I think that the Highway Patrol is doing a very good job in this respect. And I just hate the idea that we would essentially be negating the statute that has served us so well. And so with that, I'm going to oppose the bill, but not because I don't think that we should provide some flexibility to outsource this business to somebody, but I want somebody other than who is doing the daily maintenance to take a look at it once a year, because I think that that was the intent of the original statute. And for that reason, I'll be voting no on this. But I would certainly, if it gets out to the floor, I'd like to work with the Highway Patrol or anyone else to try and craft something that makes a little bit more sense so that we aren't just essentially abrogating the current statute. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative, for those comments. We still have a motion that's due pass, and seeing no further discussion, I will ask the Secretary to call the vote.
Representative Feikert?
Aye.
Ring?
Aye.
Schrempf?
Aye.
Russell?
No.
Steele?
Aye.
Kaiser?
Aye.
Qualm?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Duval?
Aye.
Hickey?
Aye.
Verschio?
Aye.
We had 12 yeas, one nay.
Okay. The House Bill, Senate Bill 41, having received sufficient votes to pass, is going to be sent to the floor. We will assign that bill to Representative Kaiser. Appreciate that. All right. We move on to our second bill, which is Senate Bill 45, which is an act to permit certain persons to renew an operator's license, a motorcycle operator's license, or non-driver identification card without appearing in person at a driver's license exam site. Senate Bill 45, and so we will open it up now to proponent testimony. So please come forward and sit down, and you know the routine. Push the green light. And proceed. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Cindy Gerber. I'm the director of the Driver Licensing Program in the Department of Public Safety. I bring you Senate Bill 45 today for your consideration to provide a convenience to South Dakotans renewing their driver's license. Senate Bill 45 allows a citizen, a national or a permanent resident who has a federally compliant South Dakota license or ID card to renew that driver's license or ID card through the mail or through an online process once in a 10-year period. This will help shorten wait times at the busier exam stations in South Dakota, and it will be a great convenience and service in the more rural areas of the state, where some applicants currently drive anywhere from 25 to 50 miles to reach an exam station. With the online or mail-in renewal available, those rural applicants will be able to perform every other five-year renewal without traveling to an exam station. It should be noted that a person may not use the mail or online process if they are changing any of their personal identifying information, including their name. Those changes must be done in person. The process is also not available for a person retaining or reinstating a driver's license after a suspension, revocation, or disqualification. The process may be used for an address change. The applicant must submit two documents showing proof of current address and must submit an approved statement of vision. If this bill passes, we intend to work with the optometrist and ophthalmologist to ensure that they have the proper form on file so that this will make it easier for the applicants that want to use this process. This bill also gives the department rulemaking authority to outline the specifics of the process. I would ask for your support of this bill to allow South Dakotans to renew their driver licenses every other five-year cycle without appearing at an exam station. With that, I'll end my testimony and be available for any questions.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Gerber. Senate Bill 45 will take additional proponent testimony at this time. Is there anyone else here to give proponent testimony? Senate Bill 45. A last call, proponent testimony. Seeing none, we will move to opponent testimony on Senate Bill 45. I do not see anyone. Opponent testimony. One more time. Opponent testimony. I do not see any, so we will close the testimony time and open it up to committee questions.
This is for the proponent. I see in here that in line 2, the applicant has not made a material change in any personal identifiable information as defined in the statute. What would constitute a material change?
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Thank you, Representative Russell. A material change would be something like a name change, change in a Social Security number, which rarely, if ever, happens, change in birth date, those types of things. An address change is not a material change, but a name change would be. That would be the most common one, would be a name change.
Okay, is there a follow-up?
Yes, thank you. So only in the circumstances of a name change would you require those folks to come back to the licensing station under this bill. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman? Yes, Representative Russell, that's correct.
One other follow-up, if I might.
Go ahead.
What information in this mail renewal would be required of an individual to renew?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
What would be required would be they're going to need to complete an application. They'll need to complete a vision statement. Of course, there will be the fee. And then two forms of address would need to also be included.
Okay. Follow-up?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
The vision statement, or who would provide that, and how would that be done if you're not actually showing up to the exam station?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. How that would be handled is a person, I should back up a little bit. We do have this process in place for mail-in for military and military dependents now. So we do have a vision statement that we use for that currently. We would intend to use that same statement, or yes, that same vision statement, and we would be sure and get it out to all the optometrists and ophthalmologists. Right now what happens is the applicant takes it there. But if we were going to do this on a more widespread basis, we would get that form out to them.
Okay. Any follow-up? Any other committee questions? Questions? I do not see any questions, and so we will move to committee discussion and or action. Committee discussion and or action. Representative Qualm?
I move do pass.
Second.
Okay, we have Representative Qualm moving do pass, second by Representative Shanefish. Is there any discussion on your motion?
No.
Representative Shanefish? No. Okay, we have a do pass motion on the table here, which for Senate Bill 45, and the Secretary will call the vote.
Representative Feikert?
Aye.
Ring?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Kaiser?
Aye.
Qualm?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Duval?
Aye.
Hickey?
Aye.
And Verschio?
Aye.
We have 13 yeas.
Okay, we have 13 yeas and 0 nays on Senate Bill 45. Representative Krim?
Consent.
We have a motion to consent. All in
second. I would object.
Okay. So we have 13 votes in favor. It'll go to the floor. And I would like to assign that to Representative Ring. Okay. Okay. Very good. All right. We will move to our third bill today, which is Senate Bill 48, which is an act to authorize the Transportation Commission to establish rules governing the allowance, placement, and maintenance of newspaper vending machines at interstate rest areas. And so we will now open it up to proponent testimony, Senate Bill 48. Please state your name and make sure the green light is on and begin when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name's Bill Nevin. I'm legal counsel for the Department of Transportation. South Dakota has in place currently in the statutes three separate statutes that essentially provide that no commercial activity is permitted at interstate rest areas, with the exception of soft drink vending machines operated for the benefit of a visually impaired vendor licensed by the Division of Service to the Blind and Visually Impaired. That exception was a specific congressional mandate. Despite those statutes, we have allowed the sale of newspapers through newspaper vending machines at interstate rest areas as the result of subsequent litigation in federal court. In that litigation, it was the state's position that under those state statutes, no commercial newspaper vending machines of any nature were allowed at the rest areas, only the soft drink vending machines specifically excepted from the prohibition. Ultimately, the federal court ruled that the right to circulate newspapers through vending machines was a protected First Amendment activity, and that while an interstate rest area is not a traditional public forum, like the courthouse steps, for example, or a public square, for purposes of First Amendment analysis, the South Dakota statutes created an impermissible blanket prohibition on that First Amendment activity. Because of that, the court ruled that those three statutes were facially unconstitutional as being overbroad. South Dakota was therefore enjoined from relying on any of those three statutes to categorically prohibit newspaper vending machines at interstate rest areas. However, as the court indicated, because an interstate rest area is not a traditional public forum, as I indicated, it is permissible to impose reasonable regulations with respect to the time, place, and manner of the exercise of that First Amendment right. And those regulations are subject to judicial review only for reasonableness. Nevertheless, the court held South Dakota's blanket prohibition was not reasonable. As a result, we were and are without any legal authority to outright prohibit newspaper vending machines at interstate rest areas. However, we can regulate the time, place, and manner of the distribution of those newspapers in order to preserve and facilitate the primary use for which the rest areas were constructed, as long as those regulations are reasonable. Since the federal court decision, various newspaper vending machines have been placed by their owners, operators at our rest areas. To my knowledge, none of those are daily or weekly newspapers published in South Dakota. They are primarily, if not exclusively, non-local periodical publications. Unfortunately, we've seen that they place these machines on occasion at locations that impede access to our rest area facilities, bunching them up by the door, perhaps, which further creates difficulty for snow removal and other maintenance activities. We are also seeing some of these machines are not being maintained in working order, but are in a state of poor disrepair, both functionally and aesthetically. Litter from the publications has sometimes been an issue. Unfortunately, we have in place no regulatory authority over those machines or the folks who operate them. DOT has been growing concerned about the ability of travelers to use our facilities unimpeded, the orderly appearance of our rest area grounds, and the ability of our folks to perform proper winter and other maintenance activities. Our interstate rest areas are often the first in-state stop for travelers coming to or through South Dakota. The appearance and functioning of those rest areas can, and I suspect does, affect their impression of our state. We would like that to be a good impression. We simply want to put in place some standards for placing and maintaining those vending machines at the rest areas, as other states have done. This bill would amend those three statutes were at issue in the federal litigation to which I earlier referred. Though somewhat unorthodox, I would explain by starting with Section 2 of the bill. Section 2 of the bill amends SDCL 31-29-83, which currently exempts only those soft drink machines operated by the visually impaired from the prohibition on commercial activity. With this amendment, also would be newspaper vending machines in conformance with that federal court decision. Section 1 of the bill amends the second of those three statutes, SDCL 31-8-16. That statute, which is contained within our controlled access statutes, currently exempts only those soft drink machines operated by the visually impaired from the prohibition on commercial activity within a controlled access highway right-of-way. This bill would now amend that section to exempt vending machines authorized by Section 2 of the bill, which would now also include newspaper vending machines. Finally, Section 3 of the bill would amend the third statute, SDCL 3132-13, the statutory chapter governing highway obstructions and defects. Currently, that statute makes it a misdemeanor to maintain any business the nature of which requires the use by customers of any part of the right-of-way and exempts only those vending facilities operated for the benefit of the visually impaired. Section 3 would amend that section, similar to Section 1, to also exempt vending machines authorized by Section 2 of the bill. Again, now also including newspaper vending machines. Of course, the procedure for the establishment of those rules being proposed in the bill would provide for a full opportunity for notice and hearing from anybody affected by the rules as well as the public generally. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll conclude my testimony and stand by for any questions. Thank you. We would respectfully request your favorable consideration of this bill.
Very good. Thank you. We will take additional proponent testimony for Senate Bill 48. Welcome. And please make sure the green light is on and introduce yourself.
Got it. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jim Higgins, Secretary of Tourism. I do have a handout, if I could pass it out to members of the committee, please.
Hand that through the
pages. In order to save my color printer this morning, I made three copies, but hopefully you can share those amongst you. We would ask for your favorable consideration of this bill. The photos that you're going to see are from a trip I took late this summer as I was passing through Chamberlain and stopped at our information center, or our rest area there. And quite frankly, it was a mess. Some of the vending machines you will see had fallen over, most of them in a state of disrepair. I was fortunate or unfortunate enough to visit with two couples that morning, a couple from Arkansas, a couple from Minnesota, who were visiting our state. And I engaged them in conversation. They said, this is a beautiful state. We just spent a couple days in the Black Hills. We stopped in Pierre. We're going to head to Sioux Falls and up to the Ingalls Homestead as well. But this is really a mess, and we just wanted to point this out to you. And so that was the feedback that we received from just two visitors that I happened to see that morning. I returned through Chamberlain later that day. It still looked the same. One of the machines had fallen over. It still hadn't been put back into its upright position. And the point I want to make is that we spend millions of dollars to bring visitors to our state. We do an exceptional job with our information centers. I think they're some of the best in the country. The staff that we have at those information centers are some of the best in the country. We get rave reviews from all over the world about our staff there. Let's give our visitors a first-class experience. They're receiving that right now. We're rolling out the red carpet for them. Let's make that first-class experience of information centers, too, by just providing some standards for these vending machines. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any additional proponents for Senate Bill 48? Proponent testimony. I ask one more time. Anybody else here to testify on behalf of this bill as a proponent? Nobody. We will shift to opponent testimony, Senate Bill 48. Opponent. One more time for opponents. Seeing none, we will close the testimony time and open it up to committee questions. Representative Kaiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first proponent speaker, please. Thank you. Maybe I'm just very confused here, but if we don't pass this legislation, can you explain to me what changes, what happens if we keep it the same without passing this bill?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kaiser, if we don't pass this legislation, the status quo would remain. That is, we would have no regulatory authority over the maintenance or upkeep of these machines or the owners at our rest areas. They would still obviously be allowed because of the federal court decision. We simply wouldn't be able to regulate where they were placed or the condition they were maintained in at those rest areas is the situation we're facing now.
Follow-up?
Please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other thing I'm not seeing in this bill, and I don't know if this would affect it too, but how about vending machines of candy? I've seen them at rest stops. Does this strengthen the regulation enough where now we'll be getting rid of all the candy vending machines too?
Mr. Chairman, if I might.
Please.
Representative, I'm not aware of any machines, vending machines at rest areas now, other than the newspaper vending machines or the soft drinks, which are specifically allowed. Any other commercial activity is still prohibited.
Follow up? No. Any additional questions from committee members? No questions. I do not see any, so we will move to committee discussion and or action. Okay, Representative Duvall has moved do pass. I heard a second. Was that Representative Rasmussen is second? Second of that, so we have do pass motion. Any discussion on your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We just saw the governor sign the half-cent tourism tax continuation. We know that tourism is important, and to have our guests come to South Dakota and be greeted with a mess, I think, is really a disservice to all of us. So I would encourage a yes vote on this bill. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. Representative Rasmussen, any additional comments? None? I'll make one. Representative Steele?
Just a comment on it. Seems the people, whoever writes these, seem to like the Class 2 misdemeanor. Well, that seems pretty minimal to me, but I guess apparently those who make that decision seems that's all right. But I would have liked to seen these last two bills been a Class 1, but Class 2 is okay. I'm just voicing my opinion.
Very good. Very good. Well, my comment is simply that the pictures really helped me on this bill to see the condition of that is certainly not what we would want to have in our state. And so I appreciate the Department of Tourism's concern for that and bringing us this bill. I hope that it will alleviate that problem. I believe it will. So we have a do pass motion here, and so the committee secretary will call the vote.
Representatives Fikert?
Aye.
Ring?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Kaiser.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Rasmussen.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Duvall.
Aye.
Hickey.
Aye.
And Vershew.
Aye.
13 yeas.
Okay, we have 13 yeas, 0 nays. That sends it to the floor.
Representative
Steele moves consent. Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
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 It is going to the floor. I would like to assign that to Representative Duvall. Thank you. What did I miss? Who was the second? I didn't call that out.
Stalzer,
thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, our final bill today is Senate Bill 49, which is an act to establish the fee charged by registers of deeds for documents filed by the Department of Transportation disposing of highway right-of-way that is no longer needed for highway purposes. And so we will take proponent testimony at this time, and please begin with your green light on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bill Nevin, legal counsel for the Department of Transportation. In last year's session, the legislature enacted House Bill 1030. That bill revised the fee schedule for documents filed by registers of deeds in South Dakota, and importantly also created a technology fund to be used to modernize and preserve records. House Bill 1030 proposed last year to amend the fee for recording mortgages, deeds, and other instruments conveying an interest in real estate, among other things. The types of legal filings DOT does in bulk every year. We file and release many temporary construction easements, wetland mitigation and drainage easements, deeds for the acquisition and disposal of right-of-way and remnant parcels, and land no longer needed for highway purposes, partial release of mortgages, etc., a great number of them. Almost all of our filings are only 2 or 3 pages long. The fee for such filings last year prior to House Bill 1030 was $10 for the first page and $2 for each additional page. So typically, DOT was paying $12 to $16 per filing. The provisions of House Bill 1030 last year revised the fee schedule for those types of filings to $30 for the first page, or for the first 50 pages, excuse me, and $2 each additional page. So the effect of that was that now the fee for filing virtually every DOT document would increase to a flat $30 from the $10 plus $2 per page. As you might imagine, given the number of documents DOT records with registers of deeds each year, doubling that cost raised some concern. In addition, the folks from the rural water districts, sanitary districts, water development districts, water user districts, and other nonprofits engaged in the water treatment and distribution and sale were concerned for similar reasons. They file significant numbers of easements in connection with the delivery of services to their folks around the state. As a result, the sponsors of the bill and their representatives, all the water district folks, and Secretary Bergquist from DOT got together and worked out an amendment to House Bill 1030 that gave DOT and the water distribution folks a little relief. That amendment created a new section to the Register of Deeds fee schedule to establish a recording fee of $20 for the first three pages and $2 for each additional page for recording an easement filed by those water district groups and for any document filed by DOT pertaining to the acquisition of highway right-of-way. And I stress the phrase pertaining to the acquisition of highway right-of-way because that's why we are bringing Senate Bill 49 here today. As it was thus amended last year, House Bill 1030 then passed through both chambers and was signed into law by the governor. As I mentioned, DOT files a large number of documents with Register of Deeds offices each year in connection with our highway construction activities. Typically, while many of those documents are filed in connection with the acquisition of right-of-way, a typical parcel would involve a plat, a deed, and a temporary easement, for example. Many DOT filings involve the disposal or termination of temporary easements that were needed for construction. For each temporary easement that is acquired, it must later be terminated by a filing. The department also regularly disposes of right-of-way no longer needed for highway purposes. For example, following construction, we may have realigned a segment of highway, and we no longer need to retain the former right-of-way, and so we dispose of that no longer needed for highway purposes. We also have many filings related to uneconomic remnants. For example, we may need a parcel, some land for right-of-way, but in order to acquire that, we're going to leave that parcel with a small uneconomic remnant of land. Well, typically in that case, as the law provides, DOT acquires the whole parcel rather than leaving the owner with an uneconomic remnant. We pay them for it. And then later on, DOT disposes of those parcels. Also, excess land acquired through negotiation. On occasions, a landowner may want, because of his perceived impact of our right-of-way acquisition out of a parcel, he may want to just sell us the whole parcel. And in those cases, as a result of negotiations, we do acquire interests in excess land that, once again, following completion of the construction project, we dispose of that land in accordance with the provisions of law for doing so. We also file, as I indicated, multiple partial releases of mortgages, resolutions for abandonment of property no longer needed, resolutions for the transfer of right-of-way, and a rather extensive list. Under the law, as amended by House Bill 1030 last year, the filing fees for all of those documents that I've mentioned, other than those specifically related to the acquisition of right-of-way, are subject to that new $30 filing fee up to the first 50 pages. Based on available data, our right-of-way office projects we will handle 750 to 900 parcels each year going forward. Multiple documents, as I've indicated, are filed in connection with each parcel related to our construction activities. The additional cost for filing documents is estimated at approximately $75,000 a year over what it was prior to House Bill 1030. The purpose of Senate Bill 49 and what the department is requesting this committee to approve is to amend that fee schedule to provide the same filing fee for documents disposing of property interests, not just right-of-way, but any land no longer needed for highway purposes, as the filing fee now set for documents acquiring an interest in right-of-way. Specifically, the changes being proposed are on page 2 of the printed bill, beginning on line 18, where the words "or disposal" are added after the word "acquisition," and the words "or lands declared surplus" after the words "highway right-of-way." This would provide a uniform filing fee for DOT documents either acquiring or disposing of real property interests in the course of our construction activities. And that will conclude my testimony, Mr. Chairman. We respectfully request your favorable consideration of this bill, and I will stand by for any questions the committee may have.
Very good. Thank you. I'd like to ask for additional proponent testimony on Senate Bill 49. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Roger Telling, he is a registered lobbyist on behalf of the South Dakota Association of County Officials, which includes the registers of deed. And as Mr. Nevin has explained to you, the bill last year that was passed by the legislature was a real comprehensive bill, kind of overhauling, if you will, the fee schedule for the filing of various documents with the registers of deeds. And this particular provision that he is speaking to was really never intended to have the ramifications or the effect that it currently has had. And so we are in support of the amendment because that was really what was intended to begin with. So, thank you.
Very good. Additional proponent testimony for Senate Bill 49. Proponent. Last time for proponent testimony. I do not see any, so we will move to opponent testimony, Senate Bill 49. Anybody here has an opponent? Last call for opponent testimony. I do not see any, so we will close the committee testimony time, open it up to committee questions. Any questions of the committee?
I've got one.
Yes, Representative Russell.
This is for Mr. Tellinghausen.
Mr. Tellinghausen, the one question that I have is in regard to making sure that the counties are actually acquiring enough money from each of these filings in order to pay their cost. And I'm just wanting to make sure that, you know, everybody else in society is paying a much higher rate, all of the individuals that file something. And so I want to make sure that we're at least breaking even on even the government filings. And so my question would be, would we be breaking even with these filings at the registered deeds offices?
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Representative Russell, it's my understanding that we will. This particular bill has been vetted through the registers of deeds that are all 66 of them belong to this association, and they've all expressed no reluctance or any hesitation in approving or supporting this bill. As I said before, the fee schedule that was passed last year was a very comprehensive piece of legislation that really overhauled the entire fee structure for filing documents with the Register of Deeds. And at that time, as part of that process, we did meet with the Department of Transportation and worked out the provisions that you see in the law now. And that, again, was all done with the advice and approval of the registers of deeds that were involved in that task force. This really was just an oversight, I guess, to put it bluntly.
Very good. Additional questions? Anybody else on the committee have a question? Senate Bill 49. Yes, Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're talking about disposing a bunch of land. Well, you can't dispose it. It's still there. Who gets this land? How do they decide? Or, you know, what happens? Does it always go back to the landowner? Is it go up for sale? Or what happens to this land that we're disposing? Could I get some information on that? Just for clarification.
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Representative Steele, when property owned by the department that it has acquired in the course of its construction activities is no longer needed for highway purposes, if we own that land in fee, then there's a procedure in law for the state to sell it in accordance with those provisions of law, which require notice and to be sold at public auction or by sealed bids. If the property was simply an easement, held by an easement, which is often the case, in that situation, when it's no longer needed for highway purposes, the Transportation Commission would adopt a resolution declaring that property no longer needed for highway purposes and abandoning it. Under that abandonment, then, whoever has the reversionary interest in that land would be the owner. DOT doesn't determine who that reversionary interest owner is. Typically, it's the party from whom the property was acquired or their successor in interest, however.
Okay. Thank you. No follow-up.
Additional committee questions? I see none, so we will close that time and open it up for committee discussion. Yes, Representative Fikert.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just got a kind of a little bit of a charge out of all of this because it finally we had an opportunity to make a little money off the state. Now we're going to let it all go. So, anyway, I support the bill. Thank you.
Great. Any additional discussion, Representative Steele?
Kind of along the same lines, I guess, with humor. I always love to see land coming back out of the ownership of the state and back to the individual people in our state who should own as much as our land as possible. I'm also for it. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Very good. Any additional discussion from the committee and or action?
Mr. Chairman, I...
Okay. We have a do pass motion from Representative Russell, a second from Representative Stalzer. Any discussion on your motion? None? Additional comments or discussion? Okay. We have a motion to do pass Senate Bill 49. The Secretary will call the vote.
Representatives Fikert?
Aye.
Ring?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Kaiser?
Aye.
Qualm?
Aye.
Rasmussen?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Duvall?
Aye.
Hickey?
Aye.
And Vercio?
Aye.
13 yeas.
Okay. Senate Bill 49, having received sufficient votes to go to the floor, will proceed to the floor.
It
can be on consent, and I will allow that. It was sort of said as I put my gavel down, so Representative Qualm has moved to consent. Is there a second?
Aye.
Second. Sounded like Representative Steele. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, Senate Bill 49 is going to the floor on the consent calendar. Vote 13-0. I'd like to assign that to Representative Fikert for the floor. And we have a comment from Representative Vercio.
Oh, God, that's great.
Would you like to make your "Oh, God, that's great" comment?
No, I didn't.
Public? Okay. I just wanted to comment and thank Representative Hickey. He did an excellent job today, as he did when I was in Hot Springs, I guess, a couple weeks ago. But just a couple things. Particularly for those of you in the audience, I've never known this group to be so bashful as far as it comes to making motions and seconding. So if we ever get to the point where we're really crushed for time, we have to pick that up a little bit, I would hope. The other one is just to help everybody when you're addressing questions to people. If when they come up to testify, if you would just take a note to yourself, or if you're all electronic, you're paperless, take your stylus and put it on the screen of the name of the person that's testifying. That way you won't have to stumble around saying, and I realize it was not just you, Representative Kaiser. There's old-timers here that do the same thing. So, I mean, it's just a little more respect for the people who are testifying. You're doing a fine job, Representative Kaiser. And it's hard to remember and learn everybody's names. And I write it as... Representative Hickey can testify. I know Bill Neva and have for 5 years, and I've known Secretary Hagan for about 20 years, and I put their names down just to remind myself that they were the ones who were testifying. So Just a hint, no problem.
Very good. Well, I'd ask our committee members to leave your notebooks for our pages, and I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Okay, from Fikert, we got a, and sounded like a ring with second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.